So, Joe, you know, a lot of people think about the springtime as being the main time to be on the lookout for severe storms, tornadoes. But this can happen, well, number one, any time of year. But we kind of have a little bit of a secondary season in late fall. Is that correct?
Yeah. You know, typically we get to, the October-November time frame. And while it's certainly not of the same magnitude of the season that we usually see in spring going into the early summer, which is our climatological peak, statistically speaking, we do see a little bit of an uptick in severe weather risk this time of year. Now, we've been relatively quiet thus far, but, you know, that's not to say that, you know, we can't see some decent events happen as we go into November. So it's something that, you know, as you say, we need to be on the lookout for, you know, 12 months a year, but particularly during the transition seasons into spring and into fall.
What is it that makes the air this time of year, what is it that makes the conditions favorable for possible severe weather?
Well, the primary thing that that drives it is the dynamics of the atmosphere tend to be stronger during those transition seasons, because you have large temperature contrasts, both horizontally and vertically speaking, that tend to drive the motion in the atmosphere, the winds. And when you have the instability in place, where we still do have some warm, humid days during those transition seasons, and you have the atmospheric dynamics in place with strong winds and wind shear throughout the depth of the atmosphere, those are two of the primary ingredients you need for prolonged severe storms. So that's why we tend to see those peak during the transition seasons, and then from a climatological standpoint, we see those kind of drop off a bit during the depth of the summer and the depth of the winter as well.
Yeah, where you got mostly cold or mostly hot, I would assume.
Right. Now, we do have kind of a season as we get late, from mid to late summer, where you'll have these very hot, very humid, kind of stagnant air masses, and those can promote long-lived damaging wind events. But we tend to see kind of a drop-off in the more classic, you know, large hail, damaging wind, big tornado outbreak type of events that people tend to associate with the spring and, to a lesser extent, the fall.
To your knowledge, has Indiana had a big protracted tornado outbreak in the fall?
Yeah, we've had quite a few. The first one that comes to mind is the November 10th, 2002 event. I believe it was a Veterans Day outbreak of tornadoes across Indiana and other parts of the Midwest. I don't have the statistics off the top of my head, but I do recall a particularly damaging tornado in Van Wert, Ohio, on that day. We've had other events, such as the Evansville tornado in November of 2005, if memory serves. And we've had some other significant events as well. Those are just the two that really spring to mind right off the bat.
What is it that people need to be most aware of when thinking about this as a potential secondary tornado or severe weather season?
Well, it really pays to be weather aware 24/7, 365. You want to always know what's going on around you, always have an eye for the conditions in your local area, and then what is in the forecast. You know, be checking the forecast daily. And when there is a threat for severe weather or winter weather or any other hazard for that matter, you just want to have that in the back of your mind and have a plan in place for what you're going to do if hazardous weather threatens. You know, we're working as an agency to build what we like to call a weather-ready nation, a nation that is aware of, prepared for, and responds appropriately to hazardous weather threats. And we can't do that without the public being educated and being ready to take action when it's warranted.
All right. And I guess to that effect, the National Weather Service as a whole has also started to change some of the terminology as far as, you know, being very relatable, easily understood.
Right. We're moving in the direction of what we call hazard simplification, where we're trying to alleviate some of the confusion that has been there over the years with respect to certain headlines. One of the primary changes that's going to be coming here in the next, again, off the top of my head, I don't precisely recall the time frame, but we're going to be doing away with what we have in the past called advisories. Now, we're still going to be issuing those products, but we're going to be explaining them and headlining them in a plain language manner, not calling them an advisory, just saying, hey, here's what we expect, here's what the potential impacts are, and here are the actions that we suggest. So that's going to be our approach going forward in the future.